Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today, we'll discuss the article by Garcia Perez et al. Titled, Alignment of SR Mitochondrial Junctions and Contact Points. This article published online ahead of print August 19, 2011. My guests today are Associate Editor Gary Lopashuk, Senior Author Georgi Chordash, and leading expert Paul Pacher. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. It's been known, obviously, for a long time that calcium has a critical role in the heart and in muscle of both signaling contractile function, but also regulating mitochondrial metabolism. And, of course, the mitochondria are the key source of energy to produce ATP for contractile function. And we know the sarcoplasmic reticulum is a key intracellular organelle providing calcium for contraction, and it's become clear recently that there are some connections between the sarcoplasmic reticulum and the mitochondria as far as communication. And this particular paper is addressing some of the potential junctions between the sarcoplasmic reticulum and the mitochondria as far as calcium flux. And Georgi, would you like to give us a little detail about what the key highlights of this paper are?
So the important question in the paper that we wanted to address, what is the most effective way for the calcium to travel from the sarcoplasmic reticulum terminal cisternae to the mitochondrial matrix? This calcium transmission requires local communication between the two organelles because the mitochondrial calcium uptake sites are of low affinity. So mitochondria are bound by two membranes, the outer membrane and inner membrane. And these membranes are usually 10-20 nanometer apart, but there are areas called contact points when they are very closely associated. And also the gates for calcium to enter through the outer membrane, the VDOC or voltage-dependent anion selective channels are concentrated to these contact points. So we tested the idea that the SR would be aligned to these contact points that would represent point of low resistance for calcium. And our main findings were that indeed the SR is aligned with these contact points via actual tethers. And we also got a clue for what would be the nature of this tether. And we suspect it could be a truncated variant of MFN2. And the impact of this alignment on the SR to mitochondria calcium signaling would be an optimized local calcium delivery.
Paul, I was wondering if you would mind commenting on what you feel some of the strengths and potential weaknesses of the study were.
Yes, sure, Gary, thanks. The limitation of this elegant study is that it used only heart homogenate containing mitochondria or mitochondrial sarcoplasmic reticulum associations or membranes and fixed heart preparations for electron microscopy studies. Although this approach provided convincing evidence that subdomains of the SR form complexes with the contact points of inner and outer mitochondrial membranes, which are secured by tethers, it could not address the dynamics of this process. So it would be very interesting to see if the number of these contacts is conservatively determined, encoded, or it can be dynamically regulated under physiological and pathological conditions. So use of live cardiomyocytes could provide some additional insight to study these intriguing issues. And here I have a question to Georg, if they have planned using live cardiomyocytes to address these issues in their future studies.
Georgi?
We do have plans, and we just have done a couple of really preliminary settings to try our tools on cardiomyocytes, and we have some molecular tools like inducible SR mitochondrial synthetic linkers that we could use in testing the significance of the SR mitochondrial gap adjustment in the local calcium communication. I am hoping that we can really pursue these studies.
There's been a lot of interest recently about the role of the primary calcium transport mechanism in the mitochondria being the calcium uniporter in the inner mitochondrial membrane. And you refer and suggest that possibly there may be a role for that in linking this calcium flux from the sarcoplasmic reticulum into the mitochondria. Do you have any data to support this might be part of this connection? And does mitofusin 2 have any connection with the uniporter that you know of?
Interaction of mitofusin 2 with the uniporter, I don't know of. It would be speculative to say much on it. At this very moment, still, we need to actually verify that indeed what we saw, MFN2 immunoreactive protein, that 50 kilodalton band is indeed an MFN2 variant. So in the near future, we are planning to IP that band and identify it with mass spec. As to the uniporter, yes, we do think that is the major predominant pathway for the calcium uptake also in the cardiac myocyte, cardiomyocytes. Discovering its molecular identity opens just huge new window of opportunities.
The main concepts of how calcium signals in the mitochondria are either to support oxidative ATP production or the other is a lot of interest in calcium facilitating apoptosis. And what are the importance in each of those, and how possibly could you turn this connection from possibly a good physiological effect of modifying calcium into potential harmful pro-apoptotic signaling? Do you have any thoughts on that?
As Gary, you mentioned, this is a very important question because physiologically, mitochondrial calcium signals regulate ATP production. They can have feedback to cytosol and calcium signals, shaping these calcium signals. But under various pathological conditions, these calcium signals can actually promote permeabilization of the mitochondrial membrane, PTP, permeability transition opening, and apoptotic processes. And also another very interesting question, since there is increasing recognition that mitochondrion may emerge as an important source of reactive oxygen species formation in almost all diseases affecting humans, and there is very important interplay between mitochondrial ROS generation and calcium signaling.
For those scenarios when mitochondria, when the ROS production is enhanced in the mitochondrial matrix, overcoming the scavenging, the pathways to leave the mitochondrial matrix are coinciding usually with the permeability transition pore. So these pathways are thought to be the IMEC channel, or the PBR, peripheral benzodiazepine receptor. Both of these have been associated with the permeability transition pore, which is suggested to be located at these contact point regions. So getting to this, I would say that aligning the SR to these contact points puts up an interesting scenario for a local ROS communication.
I think it's a very fascinating subject, and obviously a lot of work still needs to be done and better understanding the link between this junction in both pathology and physiology. But I'd like to thank Jorgi and Pau for their input and sign off here.
And to our readers, thanks for listening to the AJP Heart and Circ podcast series.